Our scripture passage is 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm going to be reading this morning from the NIV. I think it's a bit more helpful for this particular passage. Some of you grew up with the NIV, so it's like going home. But so 2 Corinthians 10, beginning in verse 12, and this is the holy and inspired word of the Lord. We do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise. We, however, will not boast beyond proper limits, but will confine our boasting to the sphere of service God Himself has assigned to us, a sphere that also includes you. We are not going too far in our boasting, as would be the case if we had not come to you, for we did get as far as you with the gospel of Christ. Neither do we go beyond our limits by boasting of work done by others. Our hope is that as your faith continues to grow, our sphere of activity among you will greatly expand, so that we can preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. For we do not want to boast about work already done in someone else's territory. But let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. For it is not the one who commends himself who is approved, but the one whom the Lord commends. Congregation, there are three things to know from the start that will enable you to understand this passage, which reads somewhat difficultly when you first hear it. The first thing to know is that there were two rival claims in the church as to who were the apostles. Paul claimed to be the apostle of the church, the one sent by Christ as their authority. And these men who had moved in, they were false teachers, had claimed to be apostles, sent by God to be over them in the Lord. You had two rival claims going on at the same time. And Paul is dealing with these two claims. What are they to do with these two claims? The second thing to understand is what to do with this word boasting. You can see it's the theme word. It's throughout the whole passage, this word boast. And you have to let go of the modern negative connotations in our language. When we use the word boast, it almost always has a negative connotation. It means bragging. But that's not what it means here. The word here in the Greek is the same word as glorying. So think about when you glory in something, that's not a bad thing in itself. It really depends on what you're glorying in. And so it's not a negative word in our passage in itself. For example, up in verse 8, Paul had written, "I glory or I boast that I'm an apostle to you." Now, if that meant brag, that wouldn't be a very good thing, right? Paul's going around bragging about his authority as an apostle. But that's not what he means. He means I glory in the fact that God has called me to be your apostle. Now, the third thing to understand is that Paul believes that you as a Christian can discern the difference between a true Christian leader and a false Christian leader. That the only requirement that it takes to know the difference is that you be a genuine Christian. If you are a Christian, you should be able to discern normally the difference either between the true apostle or these false apostles, or that really applies to any Christian leadership. Now, how can you tell the difference? Well, you need a standard. You need a measurement by which to know truth from false leaders. And that standard is the gospel itself, as we will see. Now, the problem in the church is the standard they were using was the standard of the culture. It was the standard of a typical Grecian citizen of the day. So in those days, if you wanted to know who are the important leaders, you looked at things like standing in society, you looked at wealth, you looked at speaking ability, you looked at charisma, you looked at how they were outwardly blessed and what gifts they had, and you would determine who were the leaders. The problem is the Corinthians had taken that mindset right into the church and applied it to leaders in Christ. So the false teachers looked at Paul and they said he has none of the qualifications that we normally use for leaders. He's poor. Matter of fact, when he was here, he was doing manual labor. We'll look at that next week. And that's somewhat embarrassing in that culture. He has no charisma. He's not trained in the right schools. And so he's obviously not a called leader. And so applying that standard, Paul was then a false apostle. Paul says in verse 12, that type of thinking is unwise. Another way to say that is that there's no Christian wisdom in those who think that way. That's the perspective of an unbeliever. That's the perspective of the world. If you were a believer, you wouldn't think that way. That wouldn't be your standard on who should lead in Christ's church. And so Paul will write that the standard you should have are the truths of the gospel, that we are all sinners saved by grace through the work of Christ. That is not about our abilities, it's about what Christ does in his own power. That after Christ died for our sins, he rose again, and he does use people, but he even uses them in their weakness. And the power is not in their own abilities, the power is in the Word, the power is in the Holy Spirit. These are the truths of the gospel they were ignoring, and they were simply using the standards that they were used to in Corinth. And so Paul goes on to give examples of the characteristics of this worldly type of thinking. And we see two characteristics then of sinful or boasting according to the flesh, or boasting without the gospel in mind. And the first one is found in verse 12. Sinful boasting assumes our importance by comparing ourselves to others. Paul writes, we do not dare compare ourselves the way they do to decide who is a genuine leader. Paul says, we do not dare use their system. You see, the false teachers were saying, we're obviously called to be your leaders because we were trained in the school of rhetoric, and most people aren't. And so we are uniquely qualified. We've had special supernatural experiences. And as I've said before, every fake has an experience. God has called me. And because most people haven't, that sets us apart. Or we have the ability to draw crowds. We have commendations from very respected people. And so they were sort of prosperity gospel preachers, is what they were. And they were assuming they had God's favor because of all these outward blessings. And so they compared themselves to the average Christian, and they said, we must be leaders because we are so much above them in our gifts. And so they determined their worth by comparing. And Paul writes in verse 12, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to join that type of thinking and try to compare myself to them and seeing if I come out on top. And notice how he says, I don't dare. I don't dare before God to presume my own importance based upon anything in me. Now that I know the gospel, now that I know God saved me by grace and what a sinner I am, I don't dare to think that I'm better than you or more qualified by comparing myself to anyone. I know God is not impressed, and having these type of gifts is no guarantee that he is favorable towards me. We're only right with God through Christ. And so he says, I don't dare think that way. I will think as a Christian. And so sinful boasting is when you compare yourselves to others and you say, well, God must be more favorable toward me because look at me compared to them. Now, there's other ways we can do that. We can say, well, I know God's going to bless my family because I may not be the greatest parent in the world, but I'm definitely better than, I won't say anyone's name, but you know how that goes. Or we read the news and we say, wow, those people really deserve judgment. I know I don't deserve judgment because at least I'm better than them. But I want them to have swift judgment because they deserve it. So we compare ourselves and we think, okay, because I'm better, then I must be okay with God. Or in this context, that person needs to be a leader in the church because he has such great charisma or communication skills. We don't do that type of thing in the kingdom of God. That's the way the world thinks. That's not the value system we bring into God's kingdom. And so the first characteristic of sinful boasting is to compare ourselves and then come to a good conclusion. The second characteristic is to boast in the labor of others. False Christians, false leaders, take credit for what other people have done and even for what God has done. Verse 15, neither do we go beyond our limits by boasting of work done by others. Paul himself, with the help of some of his workers, had planted the church in Corinth. He's the one that brought the gospel to them. They were converted under his teaching. He stayed there and was the pastor for 16 months before moving on to Ephesus. Now, later on, these false teachers came in. They called themselves apostles, and they downplayed Paul's contribution. And what they did is they enhanced their own. And so they would say things like, the reason the church is growing is because of our influence, because of what we've done. We've brought in better techniques. We've been able to draw more people. And so they're taking credit for what Paul had done for years, and of course, what really only God can do, which is to save and sanctify people. They were boasting and taking credit for the work of others. And so in God's kingdom, he does use people, but he gives each person only a measure of certain gifts and abilities. You have a sphere of influence, maybe at your job. You do your job well, so you're a blessing. In your home, in your family, with certain people, God gives each influence, but if it's God uses many different people and things, and of course he doesn't even need people. He works himself. But he gives you this sphere and these ministries and these gifts only by his grace, not because you're better than others. He simply distributes these things by his own mysterious grace. Now, Paul, on the other hand, we see throughout the Bible, always gave credit. Whenever a fellow worker worked with him, he gave credit to them. Remember, he says, Apollos also worked here and caused some growth. God ultimately is the one he gave credit to. He would always remind people, yes, it was through me, but then he would write, but not really me. It was really Christ who did it. He simply used me. And so Paul was always giving credit where credit was due. These false teachers were taking credit when other people had done the work. It's really a problem in short-term mission trips that happen around the world. You know, Americans are famous for this. We send people for a week to another country. Those churches have been there for years and years ministering. And we do a program for 1 week and we come back and we talk about all the people whose life changed and were saved under our week's ministry. We give no credit to the people there who have been working for years and years locally. We think because we're so special and we do things so much better than them that the credit goes to us. And this is a common problem I've heard over and over. It was if I would say, well, I've been here in Houston yet less than a year, and someone asked me about my ministry, and I said, well, all their lives have changed under my ministry, and they're finally growing in Christ. That would be evidence I was a false teacher, because God has used many people in your lives, pastors, parents, friends, his word, his spirit. Over the years, God has used many to take credit for what others have done and what God has done is the sign of a false teacher. And Paul is saying, you Corinthians should recognize this. The very fact that they're taking credit for everything should alert you that that's not Christian boasting. That's non-Christian boasting. And so in verse 14, Paul writes, now if I had not come to Corinth, my boast would be false too. If I had not actually brought you the gospel and you were not converted under my ministry, then I would be a false teacher. But I can say I'm your apostle because God had actually sent me to Corinth. The apostles in Jerusalem actually approved me going to the Gentiles. And so I can glory in this because it actually happened. I'm not taking credit beyond anything God didn't actually do. And that's the point of verse 14. Now in verse 15, there's a little bit of criticism to the church. Paul writes, I would like to glory in something else. I would like to be able to say that I brought the gospel beyond Corinth to regions in the West I've never been. The problem is I've had to spend so much time trying to confirm your own faith. In other words, if you weren't so busy flirting with these false teachers, so impressed by them, that I have to write 2 Corinthians, that I have to keep coming back and visiting you and setting things straight. If you had not been like the other churches that were already sending me, we could have used, because this was the wealthiest church. They could have supported Paul to go to new areas of mission he's never been. Paul says, I'd like to glory in this also. But the criticism is, it's because of your immaturity that I cannot yet. Now in 17 and 18, there are two summary statements as Paul shows the difference between Christian boasting and worldly boasting. Christian boasting is verse 17. Let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. Whatever good is in us, however God may have blessed us or used us with anyone, we know it's all of the Lord. It's all the Lord doing it ultimately. It's his free grace that gave us the ability. It's not in ourselves. He doesn't have to use us. He can take away any skill or gift we have. And so we ultimately, even when somebody thanks us, now we don't have to be the type of person anyone thanks you. You have to give a long speech how it's all God. You can actually just say thank you. But in your own thinking, what are you thinking? Well, thank you, Lord, for using me. Thank you, Lord, for giving me this ability. I had a friend years ago when I think it was in another life, I was a youth minister. But he would run the camps, the youth camps, a lot. We would trade off running a camp. And when he ran a camp at the end, me and some others, we would say to him, that was a great camp. You did a good job. And he would have this look on his face, and he would point up and make a big deal about, it's not me, it's God. And everybody would kind of roll their eyes. Enough already. You don't have to sort of overshow that it's God. You just, when you give thanks, when someone gives you a compliment, you in your own thinking can simply say, thank you, Lord, for that. Now, I want you to think of this idea that Paul says, I only boast in the proper sphere of what God has given me. And I don't boast beyond that. What that means, there's a tendency in modern Christianity to assume that if you're a Christian, you should be good at everything. That everything in the Bible, you should be able to do well yourself. And so you must have great wisdom. You must be ultra friendly. You must be a great parent. Everything the Bible says you yourselves are great in. And that ignores this teaching that God distributes to different people differently according to his grace. And it's not all the same. For example, Romans 12:3, Paul writes, for by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. Do you understand what that means? that each of you have been given certain skills. You've been given certain people you can bless. And it's different for everybody. It's different for every pastor. It's different for parents. It's different for every Christian. When I was a younger parent, I had never considered myself a very good parent. It never came natural to me. It was never easy. And I would watch certain people in the church, and I would think, man, it's so easy for them. They're naturals. It just comes to them. And I was always struggling with being a parent. It was always a challenge, always trying to figure out what I was doing. One of these days I will, by the way. And of course, I always felt terrible about it until I grew in my understanding of what this passage taught, that not everyone is given the gifts to be good at everything. You can simply admire how God has blessed others and be thankful for it. And that's exactly what Paul is saying here. So we are not to boast in everything. We're to boast in anything God has enabled us to do. And in that sense, we give him glory. And so what is genuine Christian boasting? Genuine Christian boasting is that whatever we do good, we thank the Lord for we know he's given us. Genuine Christian boasting is we don't compare ourselves to others and then assume by that we're more blessed of God, that he's using us more, he favors us more. We don't think the world's way. We know that it's only through the work of Christ that we find any favor or commendation with God. We know that we have very limited sphere of influence, and we thank God for any good he gives us in life that we can accomplish or do. And we don't take credit for what God has not given us to do. We thank God, we thank others, and by the way, we compliment and thank others for what we see in them. We don't have to be jealous of it. We simply can admire it. You know, some people are gifted in many different ways. Some people are gifted in personality. So if they have a great personality you admire, you simply tell them and thank them. You don't have to feel guilty that you're not them. That's what God has given them. Some people, it's even things like the ability to make money. It can be looks. It can be family. It can be some skill, teaching ability. Whatever it is, God has distributed different things to different people, and we just admire God, what God has done in others, and we thank God for what he's given to us. And we realize that whatever sphere, whatever he's given to us, doesn't make a statement about us. It's not about our value or importance. It's simply God's mysterious gifting. Christ rose from the grave, he ascended to heaven, and he began to gift his church. And everything is by his mysterious grace. So do not come to any conclusions by what you see. Simply thank God. Now, boasting informed by the gospel then ends with this. My boast ultimately is that Christ died for me. That's my ultimate value, that I am loved by God because Jesus saved me. And so, even in his kingdom, God works through weak people like me. And so when he does, and when he gives me any gift or he uses me, I simply give him the credit. Remember that no one in God's church is indispensable. Not me, not the elders, not the deacons, not any of you. If you died today, guess what? The church would go on, life would go on. Christ is in heaven. He would still be doing in you what he planned to do. And we need to remember that. And then finally, verse 18 as we close. For it is not the one who commends himself who is approved, but the one whom the Lord commends. Ultimately, it's not what you think of yourself. And of course, these false teachers thought wonderfully of themselves. It's not what even others say about you or praise you about. What really matters is what God thinks, right? And as Christians, that should really be what matters to us. It's not what I think of myself. And even if you say something positive about me or anyone of you, that's not really ultimately what matters. We want God to be pleased with our lives. He's the one that purchased us with a price. He is the one we serve. So Paul says, all this boasting from these false teachers, if God hasn't approved of them in Christ, all that is worthless. What matters is what God thinks. So as we boast as Christians and we glory in with the gospel in mind, we are really preparing ourselves for heaven, aren't we? What do you think heaven will be like? Well, the Bible tells us in Revelation 4, it says, surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. Those 24 elders represent the church, 12 tribes, 12 apostles. They represent all the elect. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. Crowns are rewards that God gives us. But what do? When they see the Lord, they lay their crowns before the throne, and they say, you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you are the one who has created all things, and by your will they have their being. We might as well practice now, amen? Let's pray.